This is the weekend edition on Highland Radio, and anyone watching the BAFTAs last weekend will have seen The Secret was up for a number of awards at the BAFTAs there. It's based on a book, Let This Be Our Secret. It's a true crime book by the journalist Derek Henderson about how Colin Howell, aided and abetted by Hazel Stewart, killed their spouses Leslie Howell and Constable Trevor Buchanan and then made their deaths look like a suicide pact. As I say, the book was written by Derek Henderson, and Derek joins us on the line. Derek, it's a case I'm sure many people will remember. It was one of the bigger stories at the time in Northern Ireland, and a particularly gruesome story as well.
Well, I mean, people are even now, you know, several years after the two culprits were sentenced to various terms of imprisonment, the continuing fascination about this story never ceases to amaze me, Donal. It's one of those stories that you really couldn't make up, and people were absolutely enthralled by it. You're right, it happened in May 1991. Colin Howell, a very wealthy dentist, is in an affair with a girl called Hazel Buchanan. They're deeply in love. Their respective partners find out about it. They're all members of Korean Baptist Church, and of course the church are deeply embarrassed by the whole affair, scandalized even, because it's the talk of the town, and how could this happen. Anyway, the Howell agrees to separate from his lover, and for several months they stay apart, but eventually they reunite. The affair resumes again, and Powell comes up with this unbelievable plan to kill their two partners, and he does so in the most unimaginable way, and makes the two killings look like a suicide. And the police were utterly convinced that it was a suicide, even though there were pointers in the other direction to say, well, listen, there's something very suspicious about this, but you know. It was dreadful police work, and they got away with it. At least they thought they got away with it. They continued their relationship for 7 years, and eventually they went their own way. Howell eventually marries this American divorcee who comes over to Northern Ireland to study Irish at the University of Ulster in Korean. Hazel Stewart, she goes her separate way, and she eventually marries this police officer, a retired police officer, a man called David Stewart. And they set up the home in this fabulous house outside Coleraine. Howell lives in a house above Castle Rock, fabulous house overlooking the village. He has his own four children, and he has another five to Kyle Howell. She was a woman called Kyle Jorgensen. And Howell's very successful. He's making a lot of money. He specializes in implantology. But he decides he wants to basically get out of dentistry and set up and maybe move to America where they have a house in Florida. And he gets involved in this madcap scheme to retrieve gold in the Philippines that was allegedly hidden there by the Japanese. He sends something in the region of $325,000 to Manila. Just sends it recklessly to this person in Manila who's allegedly heading up this operation to recover the gold. He then realizes that he's out of money. He's been warned by his wife never to use their savings, but of course Howell, being greedy that he was, he dips in and he uses up all their life savings as well. And eventually he goes to the Philippines in the hope of, he actually goes there in the hope of bringing back a bar of gold. And he meets this man in an hotel room in Manila, and they sit opposite each other, and the man pushes this box across the table, and Howell genuinely believes there's a bar of gold inside it, and then he opens up this ammunition box, and there's absolutely nothing there. There's a few dollars and a few bit of brickback and nothing, and he looks across the table at the man and he says, you know, you're a fraud, aren't you? And the man says to him, well, how do you know? And Howell says, well, I've been a fraud all my life. And his whole life is unraveling, because not only has he lost all his money, but he's having an affair with somebody in the practice. He's been abusing patients while they're under sedation. He's struggling with pornography. And he comes home back to Northern Ireland, to Castle Rock, down his practice in Ballymoney. and he basically renders himself incapable of carrying out any procedures on any of the patients because he's so devastated by what has happened to him, and his whole life unravels.
And this is all
and
years.
He confesses to his wife what he'd done in 1991.
And this is all years after he had taken.
This is almost 20 years after the event. He told his wife previously, 10 years previously, that she'd sort of let it go, but warned him that he'd have to behave himself, and if he ever stepped out of line again, that he would have.
So effectively, his current wife knew he had killed his previous wife, and
right.
His previous mistress's partner made it look like they'd killed themselves in a car in Castle Rock, and she, as you say yourself, let it go.
That's right, she did. And eventually, in 2009, Hoyle's world just collapsed, and she made him confess. The police were called in, and he was arrested. Meanwhile, Hazel Stewart, who strangely enough that day was keeping a dental appointment, when the police arrived at her door, and her husband told them that she was out, but she would be back any minute, would they wait outside, and he would call Hazel Stewart and tell her that the police were here for her, for something he didn't know anything about. And the police said, no, don't do that, because they were fearful that had Hazel Stewart known that the police were waiting for her at her home and outside Coleraine, she would never have come back. She would have driven over a cliff, because she always vowed, she always promised herself that she would take this secret to the grave. But she arrives home, she's introduced to the police, and she knows immediately, without even them saying why they're there, she knows immediately the reason for their appearance in her house. And she's arrested.
Her husband at that time.
She's almost in denial, because when she's taken to the police station, she says, well, how long am I going to be here? When am I getting home? She hadn't even realised the enormity of what she'd done hadn't sort of even then kicked in.
As you said, her husband at that time was a retired police officer.
Her
previous husband, Trevor Buchanan, had been originally from OMA. He had been a police constable as well. Did her current husband and previous husband know each other?
I'm not too sure about that, Donald. I don't think they did. But she made him aware when they first met up. She had told him how her husband had died as a result of a suicide with Colin Howell's wife, Leslie. And I mean that, but David Stewart was totally unaware of his wife's involvement in murder. But after her arrest, he was encouraged, if that's the right word, by colleagues, former colleagues in the police, that maybe, you know, we needed to look at this and maybe, you know, look to his future. But, you know, he's been incredibly loyal. He stood by this woman. He still believes in her innocence, as do her children, who are also incredibly loyal to their mother, because she was a very good mother to her two kids. But she lived a terrible, awful, awful life, because, you know, she harbored this secret. She'd kept it to herself all these years, as did Howell, even though he shared it with his second wife, with his American wife, 10 years after, 10 years previously. But she had agreed not to tell anybody.
A very striking element of the story was that both were Christians, as you said, they met in a Baptist church, and both continued to profess themselves to be Christians right through.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, the church were absolutely embarrassed by the whole thing. And, you know, it has to be said, Donald, as well, I mean, there were suspicions at the time, even within the church. You know, one of the elders put it to a pastor, John Hansford, a very nice man from Bromley in Kent, who came to work in Northern Ireland. I mean, he said, you know, could Harold have been responsible for this? You know, but nobody ever imagined for a minute that we were talking of murder here. That when he's, you know, nobody ever could have imagined that Harold would have gone to the lengths he did go to kill these people and then sort of make it look as if it was a suicide. He felt himself the police would maybe catch on, that he was really, you know, he was really living on the edge. And eventually, but he got away with it because of the very poor police work. But again, his conscience got the better of him. And Hazel Stewart always said that. She always worried that Howell would be the man who would crack, not her, that he would be the one that would eventually crack and confess. And again, that was something she had to live with as well.
Well, Let This Be Our Secret is the book that you wrote about that. It was adapted, as we said, into that TV series, The Secret. And the TV series, quite true to the book. You were happy with that adaptation?
Oh, very much so, Donald. I mean, they were very faithful to the book. They didn't stray away from it. The people who were involved in the making of the TV series, The Secret, you know, James Nesbitt played the role of Colin Harrell. Genevieve O'Reilly from Dublin, originally, she played the role of Hazel Stewart. And they were absolutely faithful to the book. There was no make-believe. It was just a true story. It was a true crime story. And yes, it was quite controversial at the time. The families, it has to be said, weren't happy that, you know, that a television company was going to revisit all of this, especially after they'd gone through, you know, here was a family, two families traumatized initially by the two initial deaths, and then, you know, 20 years later, you know, they'd never could understand, especially the Buchanan family, could never understand why their son would take his life, and suddenly the police come knocking on their door and tell them that their former sister-in-law was a key part with Harrell and murdering them. And you can imagine the shock, the disbelief that there was at the time those two people were arrested.
Derek, the book's been out a few years, and obviously there's been a renewed interest in the book since the TV series came out, and I'm sure the BAFTA interest and the BAFTA publicity will give it another spike. Derek, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. A fascinating story that obviously we would have covered here on Highland Radio, as did other media outlets over the past number of years. And Derek, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Okay, Donald, thanks very much indeed, mate.